What do you want? There are things in your life that you are willing to forsake to achieve your goal. I think that I would be right in assuming that every parent listening would lose everything to preserve the lives of their children. You value them more than all your accomplishments, all your possessions, your job, and anything else. Now, keep listening, because I want to show you something that is even more valuable than your children.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who
my name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception. This is a work and ministry of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls. John Ardley, a man who was martyred for his faith, for his belief in Christ, before he was martyred by means of burning, was told of the pain that he would experience and how hard it would be to endure it. And of course, the one who was telling him this was hoping that John Ardley would decide to forsake his faith in Christ. But he said this: if I had as many lives as I have hairs on my head, I would lose them all in the fire before I would lose Christ. You see, John was like Paul, who did not see that he was losing, but that he was winning everything in Christ. Let Christ be our greatest want, even to losing everything else. We have gained nothing if we lose Christ. On July 1st, 1555, John Bradford was burned to death. He was chaplain to King Edward VI of England and was one of the most popular preachers of his day. But he also was a martyr to his faith. As he was being driven out to Newgate to be burned, he was given permission to speak. And from the wagon in which he was riding, he thus shouted, "Christ, Christ, none but Christ." Now these two men followed the example of Paul, because Paul is an example for all of us. Let us, like Paul and like these two men, seek for the greatest prize ever. In Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 8, I would like to take my message. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 today. In 8 and 9, it says this: "But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, Paul was never satisfied with his knowledge of Christ and always craved more fellowship with Him. When Paul says all things were lost, that would include everything he had inherited. We saw that in verses 5 and 6 last week. We also saw in verses 5 and 6 that it included everything he had accomplished. It would include anything else. Everything he owned. Everything that had happened to him, both good or bad. This sacrifice was worth it, that he may have the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And my friends, with all that you know about Christ, would you not agree with Paul? Have you ever heard the line of a song that goes like this? Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Now think of that. If all that I go through in this life and the only reward I get is to get one glimpse of Jesus in glory, won't that be worth it? Yes, I think if we know who Christ is and we know what He must be like in His glory, then we would say yes, it would be worth it. However, if we count all things loss so that we may have the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, we will see more than just one glimpse of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 9 has two verses in it that make the same contrast between what we are or have and knowing God. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. In the same spirit, Paul said in the passage that we've already read from Philippians chapter 3, for Christ I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Suddenly here, Paul is using much stronger terminology. If you remember in verses 1 through 7, he had merely said that he was willing to suffer the loss of his heritage and accomplishments for Christ. Now Paul says he considered those things as rubbish. What do you do with rubbish? You do not use it, you throw it away. Rubbish is of no use to us. How many things in your home do you keep, although you never use them? Has there been a time when you started to clean out a room, maybe a closet or something, and you discovered that most of the stuff you could throw away because you didn't even remember that you had it and you were doing just fine without it? How many of your things will you take with you when you die? When a man died, someone asked, how much did he leave? The answer was, all of it. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Yet we cling to them as if they are matters of life and death, heaven and hell. How much of our heritage and accomplishments do we cling to with all our might? How much of them matter? How much of them will we take to heaven? When you are running a race, do you want extra weight to carry? If you have to carry something, you want it, number one, to be as light as possible, and number two, to be absolutely necessary. Thinking about those things, Hebrews 12 makes a spiritual application for us. And let us not think that we are the exception to this truth. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You see, for Paul, gaining Christ more than compensated for the loss of all things. What does it mean to gain Christ? Well, do you realize the heritage that is available to us in Christ? In Philippians 3, which we'll look at in verses 20 and 21, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks, Paul will show more. And this is the truth that you probably already know, but here's what he says. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Romans 8 has a passage that promises that we shall receive as much as Christ. Romans 8, 15 through 17. Paul wrote, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Do we realize the accomplishments we have in Christ? Verse 9 will give a specific thing. And let me mention Hebrews 6, verse 10. "For it teaches what we do for God will not be forgotten." Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Matthew 10, the Bible even teaches that the smallest details are remembered by the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Now, just a few moments ago I asked, do we realize the accomplishments we have in Christ? And I said that verse 9 will give a specific thing. Now, here again is Philippians 3:9. It says that we can be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from law. Listen, Paul speaks of being found, and being found in Christ. And my friends, Isaiah 64 shows why we do not want to be found with our own righteousness, as Paul spoke about in Philippians 3:9. This is why we want to be found with the righteousness of Christ. Here's what Isaiah 64, verse 6 says. "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We cannot come to Christ with righteousness from the law. We cannot come to Christ with righteousness from ourselves. We cannot come to Christ with righteousness from any other source. But as Paul now continued in Philippians 3:9, but only that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We want to be found with the righteousness that is through faith in Christ. It is righteousness from God by faith. Now let's move into the next two verses. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. For it speaks of what we need to know. Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know Him. Now, how can we know Christ not being able to meet Him as we would someone today? And notice that Paul did not want to just know about Christ, but to know Him personally. Let me give you a passage from 1 Chronicles 28 that I think will provide further insight. Because here David is preparing his son Solomon to know God. And here is what David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. I can know God, I can know Christ, by serving Him with my mind, by seeking Him every day. Therefore, we don't have to guess or speculate. If we are His children, we can know Him. And Paul also adds in Philippians 3:10, I can know the power of His resurrection. Paul wanted to know the power of His resurrection so that his body could be made like Christ's body. Later, again in a couple weeks, as we will see in Philippians 3:21, the apostle will refer to the resurrection of the body when he says this, that God will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His, that is, to Jesus' glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Everyone will be resurrected, but only faithful Christians will have their bodies become glorious bodies. All other people will have bodies for torment. One Bible commentator by the name of Wayne Jackson said, one cannot at this point but be reminded of the case of George Littleton. In the early 1700s, Oxford-educated member of British Parliament, Lord George Littleton, who had succumbed to the skeptical influences of his day, determined to do an exposé of the alleged conversion of Paul. He planned to show that the apostle's radical change could be explained on the basis of dishonest motives, personal gain, etc. After carefully researching in a thoroughly scholarly fashion the available data, he was forced to completely reverse his views. Accordingly, in 1747, he published his book, Observations on the Conversion of St. Paul. He affirmed that Paul's conversion experience, which was, of course, directly connected to the Lord's post-resurrection appearance to him, was sincere and thus a demonstration of the authenticity of the Christian religion as a divine revelation. In Philippians 3:10, Paul also said that he wanted to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, being conformed to his death. Back in chapter 1, verse 29, the apostle had already written, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." In chapter 2, verse 8, he had already mentioned the kind of death Jesus experienced when he said, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." This started when he counted all things as rubbish for Christ. Paul was then baptized in Christ. The old man was buried, and a new one was resurrected. From then on, he continued to die with Christ. That is, die to his old self, but the new self was alive in Christ. So the most radical conformity is being shown to us. Not merely undergoing physical death like Christ, but conformity to the spirit, the meekness, and the submissiveness of Christ. Conforming to his unselfish love and devotion and his anguish over human sin. When most people hope to avoid all suffering, even that connected with the cause of Jesus, is it not remarkable that Paul longed to share with Christ in this regard? We know that the Christian's life is not all easy. It does have a velvet side, but it also has a side that is as rough as sandpaper. Someone has said that persecutions have a way of drawing out of us the very best that is in us. Some trees are said to grow best when they are heavily loaded. And an airplane takes off into the wind, not with it. And so it is living with Christ. Paul became one of the world's most powerful examples of complete unselfishness. The selfish person wants to always be on the receiving end of the line. He does not realize that true greatness comes by way of service to others. Listen to this old story. There was once a preacher who called on a very poor family that lived in a house that was virtually a shack. When he came out, he found one of the boys admiring his new car. So the preacher explained that he received it as a gift from his brother. Now, what would most people say in a situation like that? Would it be something like, "I wish I had a brother like that"? But not that poor little boy. You know what he said? "I wish I could be a brother like that." This boy, though poor, and though only a boy, had enough wisdom to see that he wanted to be a giver and not just a taker. Paul was a Christian who constantly gave himself in service, complete and unselfish. Why? Because he truly knew the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. And why did he want to do all these things? Because, as he now says further in Philippians 3:11, "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." When Paul says, "if by any means," he is showing that the power was beyond his reach. But there was something he could do to ensure it. He wasn't expressing doubt here, but humility. He was not implying that he was uncertain about the issue, but he was just showing the earnestness of the struggle of his faith. "If by any means," Paul said, "I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Now, the exact form of the Greek word for resurrection here is not used anywhere else in the New Testament. In case you didn't know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek in the first century. But the Greek word that Paul used here could really be translated like this: out from among dead ones. Out from among dead ones. You see, this is looking forward to the future resurrection of the body, and not merely something in the spirit that happens now. So Paul is thinking here only of the resurrection of believers from the dead. He is not denying a general resurrection by his language here, but he's just simply emphasizing that of believers. In Luke 20, verse 35, Jesus explained that not everyone experiences this resurrection, which leads to eternal life. It is only for his followers. In Luke 20, 35, Jesus said, "But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." There are just certain people who will attain to the resurrection of eternal life. And friends, we want you to be part of that number. We don't want you to be excluded. That's why this radio program is put on the air every week. When we lose self, we can gain the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. We can gain Christ, be found in Him, and know Him. Is it not worth it to you? What do you want in life? Jesus wants you. Do you want Him? If so, and you want to learn more about what is involved, I encourage you to call the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. The area code is 541 in case you're out of the area. And the number is 882-5894. That's 541-882-5894. That information, as well as other information, is in the yellow pages under Church of Christ. The church has an ad there with a map showing you the location of the building and so forth. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about what you want. This has been Perception with Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Jesus is